Radio 1.
This is a download from the BBC. For more information, go to bbc.co.uk/Radio 1.
Yay, you're back. How I've missed you. Welcome to another glossy instalment of Radio 1's Entertainment News Podcast. I'm Natalie Jameson with another week's worth of showbiz interviews of the highest order.
1.
Here's your menu this week. The world's most summery band, Groove Armada, forget the true meaning of hard partying in Ibiza.
I'm in this villa with all these lemmy-rolls. I'm with my wife's sister, and they all get incredibly messy. So if you see somebody dribbling on a beach, it'll probably be me.
I give John Sim a tough time about his new movie.
Low-budget British heist movie doesn't always sound like a winning
formula.
I'm
not selling it, am I? I'm not selling it. It's good. Yeah, I don't know. I've seen it. I say it's good. It might be awful.
Calvin Harris gets Kylie thinking out of her box.
She does a little rap on it. It's hilarious. In a good way.
Really? You made Kylie rap? That's cool. But she can pull it off?
Oh, yeah. It sounds great. It sounds really good.
Rapping Kylie, I cannot wait. Also on the way, the Kooks talk about music and breasts. The lovely Jeff Bridges reminisces about childhood holidays in Cornwall and the perils of a drinking session with Simon Pegg.
Making movies is not all fun and games, because you got the next day. You got to get up and go back to work. You know, you don't want that hanging. You know, you don't want to be hungover.
And Klaxons come over all Holby City.
I saw the foot for the first time since I had the accident this morning, and it's horrendous. It's blown up, and I've seen the scar, and it's not pretty under that cast. And I was told off for trying to do too much too early, and I have to keep the foot up and keep the fluid off the foot, basically.
And don't forget to check out our MySpace page /WeLoveEntertainmentNews. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
Radio 1.
Radio 1 Podcast. Radio 1's Entertainment News.
So the summer is here, finally. Well, it could be chucking it down as you listen to this, but just go with me on this one. Sun, sea, sand dunes and salty air just means one thing, doesn't it? Groove Armada. And knowing me, a bit of sunburn thrown in, supping a cocktail to take the edge off. Class. Tom and Andy are back in their spiritual home, Ibiza, this summer, playing Space. If you've been, you probably share the memory of dancing on the terrace as the sun comes up. But before they jumped on that plane, I caught up with one half of the band to talk festivals, borrowing celebrities' hats and mutia.
Hi, I'm Tom from Groove Armada, and you're in my house, in my studio, in my house, in fact. I'm off to, like, South Africa, in fact, tomorrow for 3 days for some live dates, and then we're going to Ibiza for Space, which will be great. And that's been the kind of thing we've been doing for the last 4 or 5 years, and it feels like a bit of a kind of coming home gig. It's always a big gig for us, and so I can't wait for that. And then we're gonna hang around there for a few days and do a bit of work and do some recording out there as well, so it should be fun.
Ibiza usually gets quite messy, I should imagine.
Yeah, it does. It's like going to be a little bit less messy this time. Actually, it's not. I'm totally lying. I'm in this villa with all these lemmy rolls, so no, it's not going to get messy. It's going to get very. I'm with my wife's sister, and they all get incredibly messy. So if you see somebody dribbling on a beach, it'll probably be me.
And you've done loads of festivals and stuff recently, as well as your own one. Who are your kind of current sort of festival bandmates that you tend to kind of end in a bar somewhere at 6 a.m. or something?
It's funny because every year you're on a different little kind of circuit, but it's always the same bands, you know, going around. So I've seen a lot of Kelly, so without actually ever having the nerve to speak to her. But, like, you know, we all just sort of drool at her whenever we see her. I've seen a lot of Alan from the Rakes. See the Loose Cannons, like, everywhere. I'm surprised they're not here right now. They're probably the ones that we sort of kick around with the most. And it's kind of weird. It's quite, you know, the bands are funny, you know, and, like, the people are quite cagey, you know. So people kind of, particularly in the UK, we're very cagey. I think when you get abroad, I think so. When in Australia, we were out with the Pet Shop Boys, and they were fun. In fact, well, Neil Tennant was fun. Chris Lowe didn't say a word, but Neil Tennant was great, and I got to wear one of his hats, so that was good.
When you do these things, how often can you try and get some of your special friends to join you now? Like, will Mutia be joining you for anything?
Yeah, I mean, I think she'll do the UK stuff. I think the whole band are really keen to get on the tour bus on the next UK tour for lots of reasons, which I can't go into. But we love.
You have to now.
No, but I just think, you know, she's just obviously a fun, lovely-looking girl, and I think the band are keen to get to know her better. But we really like to get on the next UK tour, because it was weird, like, we've been doing that song for ages, and it's the sort of song where it's basically, you've got to know the words, you've got to be able to sing along. It's not sort of like a certain bits of tunes of ours like Chicago and stuff where it's just kind of heavy and that's what it needs to be. But that was like a real sing-along thing. When we did it at Lovebox this year, it was like the first time that it really felt like an event. So yeah, I think we've got to get her on the road.
Radio 1 Podcast. Entertainment news.
Now, did you just love Life on Mars? Did you love the spark between John Sim and his co-star Philip Glenister? Gutted that it's over now? Fear not. The pair are back together in a new film, Tuesday, which will be in a cinema near you next year. I caught up with the lovely, quiet and very modest Mr. Sim. He's busy being a lovey darling at the moment in the play Elling in London's West End. Tickets still available. So how's it all going then?
It's great, yeah. I'm having a wonderful time. It's I haven't done theatre for 12 years or so, and I've never done the West End. The opportunity has arisen, but I've just never wanted to do a huge long run of a show because I just thought I'd get bored. And so this is not too long, so it's okay.
And you're not bored yet?
Not yet. I'm having a mid-show dip, but I'm sure it'll come out of it.
So the reality then is, if you are an actor, you're not just doing theatre and TV. If you're not on TV, you're probably sitting at home just having a nice time.
Yeah, well, in an ideal world, yeah. I try and sort of keep myself to myself. I stay at home a lot because I work away a lot. So when I'm at home, I like to be at home and shut the door and, you know, and do things like that. I'll meet my mates and watch the footy in the pub. Normal things.
Yeah, speaking of somebody who actually isn't that normal, is the lovely Philip Glenister, who you're working with a lot still coming up.
Yeah, he's definitely not normal. We did a film called Tuesday, which is a low budget British heist movie, and yeah, it was good fun. I only did a few days on it. Phil's in it more than me, but I did a few days.
Low budget British heist movie doesn't always sound like a winning
formula.
I'm
not selling it, am I? I'm not selling it. But it's got a great cast, though. It's got Ashley Walters and Kevin McNally. It's good. Yeah, I don't know. I've seen it. As I say, it's good. It might be awful.
And have you started filming Ashes to Ashes yet? Are you going to do any of that at all? Or
no, that's nothing to do with me. That's Phil Glenister and Gene Hunt. You know, I'm sure it'll be great. And it's got Marshall Lancaster and Dean Andrews, who are in Life on Mars as well. They're reprising their roles. And Keely Hawes, I think, playing the kind of Sam Tyler, my character.
So you're not going to be tempted to sort of have a one-off? Are you trying to avoid that so that they don't get blurred between the two shows?
Yeah, I haven't really thought about it, to be honest. They're just getting on with it, and I'm sure they're all written now, so I doubt that'll happen. And
the call hasn't come through.
Sam Tyler died, didn't he? So it'd be difficult.
Depends what you believe, really.
Exactly, yeah, yeah. There's a get-out clause. I mean, I loved him. He's a great character. But, I'm not expecting to come back, put it that way.
And there's more from John later in the podcast when I get out the entertainment news thumb screws, perform my signature arm lock on him, and make him tell me more about Doctor Who. Will the Master be back? Dun, dun, dun!
BBC Radio 1 Podcast.
The Kooks. Haven't heard from them for flipping ages. One minute they're releasing single after single and touring all over the place. The next, they go all quiet on us. Baffled, I track them down to a studio in East London where they're recording their new album.
We're just basically laying down pretty much everything we've worked out in our heads individually through the last 3 years, really. And just because we haven't had the chance to lay it down properly, we just thought we'd get it all out there and just demo a lot of stuff, really. And it's quite a weird process because, I mean, you know, all these songs have come over such a long space of time that just bringing them out in two or three days is, you know, it's quite, I guess it's quite emotional because, you know, you've got quite a lot of attachment to each song and stuff. But we've just literally gone all guns blazing and just every single song just straight out there, one take wonder sort of thing. And we're just going to use it as an archive, really.
Well, all we're doing is we're just getting ready to do the album. It's been really good. We kind of come in and we didn't realise really how many songs we had. And it's like really inspiring, you know, you just kind of get in and listen back to songs and get excited about music again, you know, because everything gets very kind of, you know, we've been doing this for so long now, like the same kind of things. And now it feels like, you know, it's exciting again. I think this album's going to be really special. Like, I really do. I think we've got great tunes, which is the main thing. We're all kind of getting really confident about it, you know what I mean, and getting ready to go in and make a great album.
It's like, I don't know if today is a normal day, but you seem really sort of chilled, and it must be nice to actually spend some time working on your music rather than kind of rushing around the world and having to be in certain places at certain times and do so many things in a day and stuff. Have you got enough space to kind of...
It is nice. I think being in a band in our generation is like the hardest thing, you know, because you just have to do so much, like, compared to what you used to have to do, you know. I just to get your name around, you know, literally across, you know, across the world, because so many TV shows and the media is so much bigger, you know. I don't know, it's all like a big sort of cycle to me. I think we've all just realised, haven't we, that the whole being in a band is a cycle, because, you know, you do the touring and do all that, and then you come back and then you just sit somewhere and write tunes and make them, and then you go take them across the world and show them to people, basically. If you put it into simple terms, that's basically what it is, which is quite... Once you get your head around that, you kind of... and kind of accept it, that's, you know, then it's really enjoyable. I mean, we've had a lot of fun.
I'm sure that Paul and Luke have had a lot of fun, as you can tell from how our chat moved on.
It's like a profile shot of, like, you know, the two of them, and it just kind of goes up above, and it's like a big dam, and you just can see right down the top. I mean, she has really, really good breasts.
Yeah, find out whose breasts have enticed Luke, they weren't mine, before the end of this very podcast.
Radio 1's Entertainment News.
It's always good meeting celebrities. Most of them are lovely and friendly and chatty and, you know, just like you and myself. Just with better shoes and probably whiter teeth. But it's even more of a pleasure to meet a true gentleman. Jeff Bridges, star of The Big Lebowski, is in town right now to talk about his new animated film, Surf's Up. It's a behind-the-scenes look at the annual Penguin World Surfing Championship. And he's one of the politest men ever, even offering to pour me, a mere mortal, a glass of water before we began. Trust me, that never happens. If I had a cab, I'd doff it to him.
Hey, it's Jeff Bridges.
And how are you today, Mr. Bridges?
I'm fit as a fiddle today.
So Surf's Up is obviously a kid's movie. Why in particular did you want to do this one?
Well, being a surfer myself, when they showed me the waves, they hooked me. Because the animation in this film is really quite unique, quite special. They hired Kelly Slater, who's a, you know, world-class surfer, as a technical advisor to make sure that the waves, you know, looked like great waves, you know, and they certainly do.
And it didn't appeal to your vanity in any way, in that you're playing a washed-up surfer in particular.
Well, that had something to do with it, but I guess, you know, I had my heyday, I suppose. I was surprised to see how big surfing is here in England. God, huge waves in Ireland. I didn't know about those.
No, and Cornwall as well. Yeah. It's like a massive scene down there.
Wow. When I was a kid, I had a great trip with my folks. I remember going to a little place called Mousel.
Very well pronounced.
Oh, very good. Yeah, we had a great trip down there.
And I think from Surf's Up as well, some people will probably draw some comparisons to Big Lebowski as well and your character in that, because that's become so iconic. When I was chatting to some of my friends about doing this, they're like, oh my God, Big Lebowski is amazing.
Yeah, I like that, because that's one of my favorite movies. I was surprised when it first came out in the States that it didn't do very well, really. And I don't really know why, but now it's gotten kind of a whole new wave of appreciation. They have these events now, all popped up all through America, called Lebowski Fests.
Now, I know our time here is short, but I need to mention two movies you've got coming up as well that people are incredibly excited about. Iron Man, first of all, with Robert Downey Jr. and Gwyneth Paltrow. It just looks amazing from what we've seen.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. We just finished that not too long ago. Robert was, you know, great to work with. He's such a great guy and a talented, quick mind, you know, and Gwyneth is certainly a terrific actress.
And also Simon Pegg in How to Lose Friends and Alienate People.
Yeah, he is so great to work with. He's such a sweet person.
Do you have lots of nice, good nights drinking down the pub with Simon?
We had one pretty good night, but that was about it. You know, I mean, making movies is not all fun and games, because you got the next day. You got to get up and go back to work. You know, and you don't want that hanging. You know, you don't want to be hungover.
This is a podcast from BBC Radio 1.
Yeah, I'm so calling all my hangovers hangies from now on. Okay, moving on. I've only met him twice, but already I think I get on quite well with that Calvin Harris because, one, he likes all the girls, and two, he's got love for you if you were born in the 80s. So, yay, that's me all around, apart from the 80s bit. So, on this, our second encounter, I caught up with Calvin to talk Kylie rapping, oh yes, and what he's busy doing right now.
Radio 1.
Hi, it's Calvin Harris. I'm definitely not quite chilled. I am getting back into the production thing after we did a lot of festivals, a lot of live dates. But first big thing that I think is going to come out is the new Mitchell Brothers single.
What? Phil and Grant, you say, making sweet music together? Whatever could it be? A Robson and Jerome style one for the mothers? Okay, so yeah, it's not actually those Mitchell brothers. Of course it wouldn't be, stupid idea. It's much more likely to be the London-based rappers producers with the same name. The first people to be signed, in fact, to the Streets label. Calvin is working with them on a track called Michael Jackson. Very confusing. Look out for their new album. They've got Lily Allen and Franz Ferdinand on it too. Calvin's also been working with Kylie again. He's produced a couple of tracks for her new album.
Yeah, it's got what do they call action stage red. It's all happening, you know. The short list is getting shorter. I'm still on it, still got a couple of tracks on there, so it's just fingers crossed moment, and leave them to it really.
Is she really nice to work with? Do you quite like that you've got this connection with Kylie now?
But the easiest person to work with. Yeah, you know, she's done it so frequently, she knows exactly how to sing and in what way. Like, if you ask her to do something in a certain way, it's done. Whereas it's not like that with other people. But yeah, it's a pleasure.
And is the stuff you've done with her fast, slow? What kind of vibe?
The two tunes that are still on the shortlist, one of them is a big...
How many tunes did you have originally on the shortlist?
I don't know if they were ever on any list, but we did six. One of which I sort of knew was a big tune, and one of which came completely by surprise. There's one that's just a big disco thing, but like my kind of vibe, but with her singing these really sort of pop vocals in a good way, over the top. And the other one is like more kind of, it's like kind of Neptunes-y. Sounds terrible, but it's like, it's more of a hip hop thing. She does a little rap on it. It's hilarious, in a good way.
Really? You made Kylie rap? That's cool. But she can pull it off?
Oh yeah, it sounds great. It sounds really good.
Is it kind of Blondie-esque rapping?
You know, it's a bit like Uffy.
But like what?
You know Uffy?
No.
Oh, she's like this French girl. Well, no, she lives in France, but she's from Miami. She does things with Mr. Wazzo, and she's very cool. But anyway, that's completely irrelevant, all of that. I guess it's a bit like Blondie.
Radio 1.
Now, if you go a bit green and have to turn over during casualty, house, ER, whatever, this next bit is not for you.
One.
We've been chatting to Klaxons, who aren't exactly at full strength right now. Poor old Jamie broke his ankle jumping off a stage in France. Very rock and roll. He's had his leg in plaster and will be laid up in a wheelchair for the whole summer because the doctors banned him from putting any weight on his foot. They've had to rope in a temporary bassist and cancelled the Australian leg of their world tour. You might find some of their interview with Sarah Jane Griffiths disturbing, unless you like that kind of thing.
Hello, I'm Jamie Reynolds from Klaxons.
Hello, I'm Simon from Klaxons.
I'm James.
Hello, we are Klaxons.
And in terms of how you're getting on with the cast...
Yes, it's like, you know, I went this morning and I had the plaster of Paris removed and I've just had this fibreglass cast put on it. They asked me what colour I wanted and they offered all sorts of colours, but I went for the black. I'm not sure why, I think it's a bit classy. But I saw the foot for the first time since I had the accident this morning and it's horrendous. It's blown up and I've seen the scar and it's not pretty under that cast. And I was told off for trying to do too much too early and I have to keep the foot up and keep the fluid off the foot, basically. It's not nice, but it, 5 weeks it should be back to normal.
Have you got bored yet, or are you with the hobbling around? Or?
Yeah, I'm really bored of it. Yeah, I'm bored and frustrated. You know, everyone else.
Novelty's worn off. Everyone else in a cast. Yeah,
it was actually really funny. The day after it happened, we were all like lying around in the bus laughing about it, how funny it was, and then the next day it kind of doomed on us what was going
to
happen.
What we had to do.
There has been a 3-inch plate inserted into my leg, you know, and it's a fairly serious situation. But yes, I'm frustrated. Everyone else is running about and having a good time. It's nice weather outside, and I'm sitting here and can barely use the crutches, but you know, I'm not complaining.
I didn't realise what happened. I just saw him down on the floor, and then over the PA
We were in front of a few thousand people in France. I heard this, like, I broke my leg. You said another word in between leg and broke, but...
Yeah. You know, merci, au revoir, cheers.
Au revoir.
Thanks very much. I think I've broken my leg. Nice one. See you. Take care of each other.
Tell me about the cast as well, your old cast.
I'll put the first one on eBay, the one that's been signed. See if we can get a tenner for it, and we'll give that to charity. We'll give that to the Red Cross for being so nice and giving me the wheelchair to wheel about in for the last week.
So how much longer have you got to have this on for?
This is 5 weeks, so this will probably take me up to the week after... Reading and Leeds Festival. This year we're doing the Radio 1 tent, we're headlining, and we're just expecting it to be absolutely phenomenal, you know. It's just can't wait for it. I mean, seeing the size of that tent, and I mean, I saw Dizzy Rascal play that tent last year, and it was just insane. And hoping that, you know, we can get a similar vibe in there this year, and just really looking forward to it.
And will it be crutches or a wheelchair?
Well, I think it's going to have to be the wheelchair up until it comes off, because I've got told off this morning for having the foot lowered down too much. I have to have it elevated to keep it drained. It's at the moment it's looking like a wheelchair, and if things go according to plan, maybe I can get off it and get back on my feet. But I was shouted at by a doctor this morning and told to stay off it for 5 weeks.
Will you be decorating it or anything like that?
Yes,
or
will
it?
Yes.
That's the first thing that I got excited about when it happened.
I can't just sort of sit there in a chair and watch the gig going on around, so
we're going to have to work on something. We can attach wings to you or something.
BBC Radio 1 Podcast. Radio 1's Entertainment News.
We've already heard from John Sim once this week, busy thesping it up in London's West End in Elling right now, but most of us saw him last as the Master in Doctor Who, the suited, evil, dark, scary Time Lord who tried to control the Doctor's mind and kept him prisoner in a cage. Reminds me of a boss I used to have. So, will the Master return?
If the opportunity arises, then I would definitely seriously think about it, because it was such fun to do. It was such a fun character to play. Who knows? Don't know.
You must be pleased by the response that got, because there was such kind of secrecy around and everyone was saying, oh, we think it is you, and then obviously you had to kind of shut up about it until it was actually on TV.
Yeah, it was hard keeping quiet. Yeah, and I just had to be very cagey, but because they're very secretive, you know. Yeah, it really is like Torchwood there, you know, don't mention it. And when we were filming it, they couldn't put the Master on my trailer door, you know. They put the enemy, so nobody could tell who I was playing. It was all top secret and hush hush, but I totally understand why. But what a fun job. It was great.
And David Tennant's just brilliant as the Doctor.
He's fantastic, isn't he? Yeah, he's got to be the best Doctor Who ever, I think. Yeah, he's wonderful, wonderful. Radio 1
Podcast. Okay, let's hope that Tom Cruise has chilled out a bit since that South Park episode about him was banned in the UK. Channel 4 comedy TV show Star Stories has had a right pop at him, plenty of jokes aimed at his height, his teeth, and of course, Scientology with his friend John Travolta.
I gotta say, John, this religion of yours, Scientology, it sounds completely mental.
Yeah, a lot of people think that, Tom.
Kevin Bishop's the man giving Tom, Robbie Williams and Simon Cowell the Star Stories treatment this series. Sarah Jane went to meet him.
Hi, my name's Kevin Bishop and I'm an actor from Kent. I think in this whole series there was something like 150 characters and there's a cast of 13. Loads of parts for everyone, really.
What did you think when they told you you were going to do Tom Cruise?
To be really honest with you, I'm really being serious. I didn't want to do Tom Cruise. I had an experience with the last series when I played Brad Pitt. It is very hard to be funny when you're more or less being pretty much a straight guy carrying a story so everyone else can be funny. I was a bit worried that the Tom Cruise one was going to go along the same lines. It is the easiest person to research. I mean, you just go out and any film you get is pretty much the same. That I noticed from watching about 3 or 4 films on the trot, you know, Cocktail, Days of Thunder, and Born on the 4th of July. In every single one of those films, there was a point where Tom went, woo! And just this sort of jump up in the air with his hands up, like, you know, almost, and he just did it in every single film. At some point, you know, whatever it is, the firm, he's getting chased, he goes around the corner, he just goes, woo! And then just runs off again, you know. So it ended up as a running gag in the show, you know. He is brilliant.
Were you a bit concerned about the Tom Cruise one in particular? Because when they tried to do that South Park one about him, that got pulled.
Yeah.
He's a bit touchy.
Just a bit touchy. When the Scientologists get hold of this, I don't know, I might vanish. If I do vanish, I just want to say I'm pretty happy and I won't have killed myself. But I might just vanish, not come back.
Are there any kind of things that you do and lines that you say and you think, oh, I really don't think we're going to get away with that?
Yeah, pretty much every single line. I could understand. I kept on questioning a lot of the really kind of near the mark lines. Amazingly, the legal department had sewn it up from every angle, literally by law. So anything we said was either tongue-in-cheek or was saying it by saying it isn't. And so, therefore, we got away with it, amazingly. Or, well, at least we have so far.
Do you get many complaints, or have you got any complaints from any of the stars involved so far?
No, because English people have such a brilliant sense of humour, usually. I mean, they'd be mad if they didn't know that people, the public, thought this about them anyway. So all this does is bring out probably something that's really worrying them, puts it out and makes fun of it. So therefore, it's immediately just cheapened. I mean, George Michael, I think, when we did Star Stories, I felt that it kind of made people more fond of him. The character was nice and was fun, and I would like to think that he really enjoyed it. And I think he probably took a bit of heat off him, you know.
Radio 1 Podcast. Entertainment news.
Okay, get ready for yet another slice of ITV afternoon chat. Anthony Cotton, aka Curry Barman, Sean Tully's new show starts this week. Not before the pilot episode was leaked online and panned by critics, though. One said, this is jaw-droppingly awful, cringing with embarrassment while he's singing Copacabana while mingling with his zombified audience, just like a night round mine. But Anthony told us he's not bothered.
People that sit at home online that have no friends apart from other pretend friends in cyberspace don't go online to be nice about people, do they? That's the nature of those sites, so they can say whatever they want. We're not making it for people that sit at home and spend their lives on internet television forums. We're making it for people that sit and watch television, so it'll be fun. I'm sure there are nice people that are online in internet forums about television, but most of them are very negative. They're negative about everybody. Once we knew it had been leaked onto the internet, we knew that nobody would be nice, you know, it's all because that's the nature of it. But we're not making it for them. We're making it for, you know, for a television audience that will be involved in it and hopefully will love it. And it'll be, you know, it's not brain surgery. We're not saving people's lives, you know. We're not pretending that it's anything other than just what we've said it's going to be, which is a light-hearted, fun, entertaining, gossipy, irreverent chat show. That's what it is. It's chat. Radio 1.
Podcast. Now, to a brand new feature on this Entertainment News podcast, Movie Reviews from the Stars, where we ask the stars to review a movie that they've just seen. It is very complicated. This week, Luke from the Kooks does Transformers. He went to see it on his own, bless him, which isn't weird at all. Actually, I do it all the time. Really, I do. I don't have a problem with it at all, and it just means I get to eat that jumbo bucket of popcorn all by myself. No sharing. Okay then, Luke, verdict on Transformers?
The only good thing is the end line, which I won't give away, which, like, I used to be a big Transformers fan. I swear, if they had just made it exactly the same storyline as the original Transformers movie with CGI, brilliant. It's just, they tried to be really funny half of the film, and there's too much action on the other half. The dialogue was awful, and the acting was, like, the main guy was just rubbish.
The only good thing
was that he was wearing a Strokes t-shirt through that entire film, which I thought was quite weird, but you know.
I was going to say, the first thing you told us wasn't really about the film, it was the fact that there was a really gorgeous girl in it. Which really,
yeah, that is true. She acted pretty well.
I might just go and see the film for that.
And she's nice, like, yeah, I definitely.
Didn't you say there was a great boob shot?
Yeah, I did actually. Yeah, cool. I'm not that much of a.
Apparently, the director panned it perfectly.
No, well, that was as far as like scenes go. I think the director got that bit spot on. It was quite. No, but it was like you could tell that he was trying to be kind of arsey. So like he's put like, it's like a profile shot of, like, you know, the two of them, and it just kind of goes up above, and there's like a big dam, and you just can see right down the top. I mean, and she has really really good breasts. Well, I know, but honestly, I think he should get the Oscar. best shot of the human body form, you know, female body form.
She's out there, hello.
whatever.
Shocking.
Radio 1.
That is it, can you believe it, for another week. Next time, among others, we'll hear from ex-Sugar Babe Mutia Buena, hanging out with those Groove Armada boys now. In the meantime, don't forget, we love to hear your thoughts on this very show. On the email, it's newsbeat@bbc.co.uk. Just stick podcast in the title, or through our MySpace @WeLoveEntertainmentNews.
Radio 1 podcasts.
Download them for free at bbc.co.uk/radio1.